This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. We've a 21st birthday to celebrate today, a reassuring tale about losing things, and an encounter with an expert on mixing the art and the science of caring for historic buildings. But first, some music from Dave Bilborough. ABBA, Father, Let Me Be Yours and Yours Alone.
ABBA, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Make my
music from singer, songwriter and worship leader Dave Bilborough. Our first feature today deals with that 21st birthday. Well, it's actually an event, not a person. Praying the Keels Week that starts next Saturday is now in its 21st year, offering us a week-long programme of opportunities to explore the tiny ruined chapels or keels that have dotted our island landscape for over 1,000 years. Praying the Keels Week is organised by an enthusiastic team drawn from various church backgrounds, and two of their members, Catherine Waring and Phil Crane, join me now to remind us what Praying the Keels Week is all about.
Credit should go to Bishop Graham Knowles, who was our bishop in 2006. And he said, look, you've got these wonderful ancient chapels here called keels, and let's do something to use them, to visit them, to pray in them, to be silent in them, to, in a sense, reclaim them. And so under his initiative, you know, it takes a come over to do these things sometimes, we gathered together a small group. And so far, with God's grace, it has stood the test of time, and here we are today. And I think it can appeal to people of all churchmanships, but people who are maybe from outside the church, who've been let down by the church, who might sort of think, okay, this sounds interesting. It's a gentle way in to explore again.
And these remains of these wayside shrines, these little chapels, are in some very beautiful places, and some of them are on private land, and the committee negotiates access just for this week. So it is an opportunity to see quite special things.
Yeah, I think for everybody it's really just a chance to meet other people, to relax in the Manx countryside and maybe put our worries to one side, and to get out in the glory of creation, especially this time of year.
It's a special week. All the churches contribute. It's an ecumenical thing, and we just love it. We try and do different levels of ability. So the two Saturdays are more the longer walks, but we have different things during the week. We've also got things like a coach trip. So for people who don't do walking but still want to go around and see things. And we've also got shorter walks in the evening for people who work.
Praying the Keels Week starts next Saturday, May the 16th at 10 a.m. with a service of welcome followed by refreshments in Ballykilferrick Chapel up above Colby. Now, you can come along to that service even if you're not planning to do the walk. But if you are, Ballykilferrick is the start of Saturday's 6-mile circular walk exploring the remote upper valley of the Colby River. Please bring a packed lunch and some drinks. This walk is on minor roads and footpaths that might be muddy. Return to Ballykilferrick by mid-afternoon. Next Sunday, the 17th, there's a Manx Gaelic workshop for beginners and worship at Maroun Parish Church. That's between 2 and 4 p.m. Next Monday, the 18th, it's a morning walk in Bride, exploring St Bridget's Parish Church, its crosses and the graveyard, followed by a circular walk of about 2 miles on minor roads. Meet at Bride Parish Church at 10:30 on the 18th. Also on the 18th, Paul Lewin will give a talk on the central role of the Manx Bible and the Manx Prayer Book in the development of the Manx language. It's in St Anthony's Pastoral Centre on Ridgeway Road in Onchan on Monday the 18th at 7:30. On Tuesday the 19th, meet at St Adamnan's, Lonnon Old Church at 6:30 for worship and a circular walk of about 4 miles through the Ballinette Nature Reserve, walking on minor roads, rough and muddy paths and over some stiles. Wednesday, May the 20th is the coach trip. Meet at the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas for a prompt 7 p.m. departure, returning to the same spot at around 10 p.m. The cost is £25, which includes a supper of sandwiches, cakes and hot drinks at the schoolrooms at St James in Dorby. Booking is essential as numbers are limited, and you can book by contacting church's bookshop, which is just inside the side door to St Thomas's Church in Finch Road, just by the Gaiety Theatre here in Douglas. On Thursday, May the 21st, meet at 2 p.m. at St Mary on the Harbour in Hope Street in Castletown for a 5-mile circular walk around Scarlet to Keel Vale on Chapel Hill, Balladool, and return to Castletown via Poolvash Farm. Stout footwear is recommended because this walk is on uneven paths that are muddy in places and there are stiles. On Friday the 22nd, you've got the choice of an evening and a night walk. The evening walk, a circular route of about 4 miles, starts at 6:30 in the car park at Glenmore Beach, Kirkmichael, then goes up Glenmore, pausing at St Patrick's Chapel, then visiting Spoutvane Waterfall. The walk then goes along the old railway line to Glenwillan, returning along the shore to Glenmore. It's uneven in places with some steep steps. The night walk on Friday the 22nd starts at 10 p.m. at the Sulby Reservoir car park and will follow the Triskelion Way, skirting the reservoir and Druidale Farm. This will hopefully include some stargazing and returns to the car park by midnight. Please wear warm clothing and carry a torch. And Praying the Keels Week ends with another longer walk on Saturday the 23rd. Meet at 10 a.m. at Christchurch, the Doon, Glenmona for a 6-mile circular walk around the Cornay Valley, including a visit to Juan the Priest's Keel and the North Laxey Mines. Please bring a packed lunch and some drinks. The walk goes over rough and sometimes steep and uneven ground, so stout footwear is essential. At the request of landowners, no dogs on this walk, please. But on all other walks, dogs are welcome, but must be kept under control on a lead at all times. All walkers take part at their own risk. Do please always wear footwear with a good grip and clothing that's appropriate for the weather. Everything is free except for the coach trip, and there's no need to book for anything except the coach trip. Just turn up at the start and you will be made very welcome. There are printed programmes in all the churches island-wide. There's also a website with full details of the walks, prayingthekeels.org, and the programme is also on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com and search for Praying the Keels. And Keels is spelt with two E's and two L's. K-E-E-I-L-L-S. Before the heavens had been formed, before the bright angels were created, what was in existence? Beautiful music there from Kirjin Kujak, and another excellent reason to go to the opening service in Ballykilferrick Chapel on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, because Kirjin Kujak will be there and adding their beautiful music to the service. Let's go back now to my conversations with Catherine Waring and Phil Crane.
You've been involved with this for a few years.
Yes.
So what is it that you love about it? What does it give to your spiritual life?
I think it gives me time to pause, because it's walking at a different pace and in different environments. I mean, I love the people we meet. You know, the conversations that you have are very different on the Keels Week. I love the Isle of Man. I love the flora and the fauna. The bluebells are out. You'll see a lot of the gorse out. It's absolutely beautiful time of year to walk around areas of the Isle of Man that you seldom get a chance to go.
These are not walks to race. We'll be walking at the pace of the slowest. And that gives us time to reflect, as I mentioned, to be open our senses to creation all around, but also to pause in one or two places for a poem or a prayer or reflection. One thing we do on one or two Keels walks is just walking a mile or so in silence, you know, and that heightens our awareness of creation all around.
There is a camaraderie, I think, that walking engenders, and particularly when you've got time to reflect with each other. It's that shared experience and meeting God in different ways, really.
For walk leader Phil Crane, these Bible verses sum up his feelings.
Words from the Message version of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to make a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So these are some words written by an Australian called Michael Lunig. We pray for another way of being, another way of knowing. Across the difficult terrain of our existence, we have attempted to build a highway and in so doing have lost our footpath. God, lead us to our footpath. Lead us there where, in simplicity, we may move at the speed of natural creatures and feel the earth's love beneath our feet. Lead us there where, step by step, we may feel the movement of creation in our hearts. And lead us there where, side by side, we may feel the embrace of the common soul. Nothing can be loved at speed. God, lead us to the slow path, to the joyous insights of the pilgrim, another way of knowing, another way of being. Amen.
Thank you, Phil Crane and Catherine Waring, talking about Praying the Keels Week that starts next Saturday. Recently, I was invited to go to Bishop's Court to meet Tobit Curtis, who was looking at the restoration work there, just one stop on a brief tour of a number of buildings, largely churches, that he made during a short stay on the island. But this wasn't his first visit. That was 25 years ago, as you'll hear during this conversation. But before we go any further, let's find out what is Tobit's profession. You describe yourself as a cross between an archaeologist and an architect, which sounds to me as though it is the best of all worlds. Is it?
It has its advantages. On my passport it says architectural conservator, and it means people tend to ring me when things are going wrong with buildings that the architects, the engineers, the archaeologists can't work out. And then I go in with my team and we pull together a lot of clever people and we try and work out what's happening in a good practical way to conserve the building or the collection or whatever it happens to be. It
must be absolutely fascinating work.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's very varied. You might be working on a 1960s cathedral, or you might be working on a tomb in the desert in Egypt in 1250. BC. So many of the places I work are from diverse religions and places of spirituality. I mean, some, particularly some of the very early things, the things I've worked on in Malta are 3,500 BC, and you know that they are places where spiritual activities took place, but you don't know what they were because there's nothing recording them. But you cannot but be moved by these serious places, these very special places. And it's the same all the way through until you're in modern religions, religions you recognise.
Because you strike me as somebody with a great personal sensitivity, and if you are a sensitive person, you're open to that kind of experience. So, you were here 25 years ago, you were helping us to restore and also to preserve the wonderful Nicholson murals in St. Thomas's Church. Now, you're back again.
What are you doing here on this visit, Tobit?
Well, there's a variety of things. I mean, firstly, it's looking back at St. Thomas's. Some of the paintings have survived very well, some of them less well. And so it's working with the team there to look at what can be done in the future to make sure that they can be conserved, that they do survive. But at the same time, I've been asked to look at various other sites. I've just been at the Abbey Church today. Again, looking at why the building's deteriorating, why some things haven't stopped when they should have, and coming up with practical ways of dealing with that, improving it, conserving it.
It's wonderful to have that knowledge, but the challenge also is the finances. Sometimes it might be quite a straightforward solution that maybe people haven't spotted, because we can be too close to a problem, can't we? When it's our church, our stately home, our art collection, you need somebody to come with your expertise and say, how about this?
Well, I think you talk about two very important things there. One is coming in with a fresh set of eyes, and it's very important. I'm often coming into other people's worlds, other people's cultures, and I have to learn as much about what they are doing and what they're thinking about their buildings as I am contributing. But coming in with that fresh perspective can be terribly helpful. But then there's the whole the finances thing, the money thing. It's a challenge wherever you are. I've never worked on projects where that is easy. But if there's an advantage to that, it's that it sharpens the mind. You can't do everything you want to. So you've got to work out what is feasible, what is possible, what is practical. And although it is frustrating, it's actually quite a good discipline. And it also helps you come up with solutions which are going to be sustainable, by which I mean they will survive for a long time. The local people will be able to look after them and maintain the buildings in a particular way for a long time. That's very important.
Now, here on the island, of course, we're full of island pride, and we think that we've got in our church buildings particularly lots of variety, lots of different ideas when the churches were created. In, I know it's only a very short visit, but I know you've been taken around to lots of different places. But do you feel that there's a lot of variety here?
There certainly is. I mean, it's very interesting when you are dealing with a collection of buildings which range from the Neolithic all the way through the medieval period, and then with the sudden sort of enormous emergence of church architecture in the 19th century. Sometimes that dominates what people might think about Isle of Man ecclesiastical architecture, because there's so much of it and so much of it survives. But of course here you have an immensely wide range of buildings, and I think they're little known outside the island.
Now, the Archbishop of York is encouraging this to be a year of pilgrimage. And whilst it's coming from the Church of England, it's something that can embrace all denominations. And do you think, having had this little snapshot look at the island, would you encourage people to get out and walk about and explore and use this year to make their own little pilgrimages and explore, even if it's just their own area?
Absolutely. I mean, I think people are unfamiliar with churches now. They're not as commonly visited places as they used to be. And when people do come into their churches and realise what a complete and wonderful collection of both buildings and artefacts and objects there are, they are amazed. And I think if it encourages more people to try that out and to go through that sort of slightly dark, forbidding door that they haven't before, that can only be a good thing.
Thank you, Tobit Curtis, architect and archaeologist. And let's have a final word from author, broadcaster and friend of this programme, Richard Littledale. He's got a story for us all about answered prayer.
So I lost a vital set of keys this evening. It has my back door key and my office key and my shed key. Now, I'd had them earlier on when I was up in the office writing, but I cannot for the life of me find them. So I'm looking everywhere. I get to that sort of desperate stage where I'm checking the fridge, the freezer, the dishwasher. I emptied the bin, looked everywhere, all of this with a dog standing in front of me, staring at me and thinking like something exciting was going to happen, me having to shove her out of the way. Absolutely no sign anywhere. So I prayed aloud to God and said, please, please, will you help me find them? And thought, well, I'll carry on with the water and the gardening. So I thought I'd water the other half of the plants that I hadn't given any plant food to last night. So I'm working my way around and I spot two weeds, which must have been at least 2 foot and possibly 3 foot high, that I swear to you were not there yesterday. So I pulled them out. They were very easy to remove. and I carried them to the garden bin, lifted up the lid of said bin, and what do you think was inside? I must have had them in my hand when I was trimming off a random bit of foliage earlier and dropped them when I opened the secateurs. Anyway, there we are. There's an answer to prayer. Thank God for weeds, or at least tonight, anyway.
And now let's take our usual look at the notice board, starting with events today. And Port Erin Gospel Church have their regular Sunday services today at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Mr. Trevor Wiley will preach at both services, where all are welcome. There's no evening service tonight at the Cool Chapel. However, there will be the very popular annual plant sale and afternoon tea at the Cool next Saturday the 16th, open from 2 p.m. to 4:30 in the Cool Hall on Cool Road on the edge of the Isle of Man Business Park. There'll be lots of bedding plants grown from seed and there'll be a cake stall. Admission is just £5, including afternoon tea. This weekend is a particularly significant one for St Luke's Church in the lovely Baldwin Valley as they celebrate their 190th anniversary. The celebrations started yesterday and continue this evening when there's a special anniversary service at which Bishop Tricia will preach and the organist will be Kath Blackburn. It's tonight at 6:30 and all are welcome. Also tonight at 6:30, the Mariners' Choir will be in Abbeylands Chapel, where Mrs. Jean Guthrie will preach, and the service will as usual be followed by supper and community hymn singing. And because of this evening service, there's no afternoon service today in Abbeylands. And again this evening at 6:30, Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett will lead another bilingual service in Ballabeg Chapel. The service will include contributions from much-loved Manx musicians Annie Kissack, Phil Gorn and Krista McCartney, and it'll be followed by refreshments. On to the week ahead now, and there's a warm welcome at St Anthony's Charity Bingo. That's going to be on Thursday the 14th at 7:30 p.m. in St Anthony's Pastoral Centre, next door to the Catholic Church in Onchan. Everyone's welcome to come and join in the fun with tea, coffee and a raffle. Also in the evening on Thursday the 14th, it's the last of the spring concerts in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin. Music will be from the Manx Children's Choir and Skoll Pertlemura. It'll start at the earlier time of 7 p.m. with free admission, a retiring collection and refreshments in the hall afterwards. On Friday evening, the Talis Consort presents Music of the Spheres, a concert of choral music inspired by space in St Mary's Co-Cathedral on Hill Street here in Douglas, this Friday the 15th at 7:30 p.m. Free admission and a warm welcome for all. Next Saturday, the 16th, it's Spring Fair time in the Abbey Church Hall in Ballasalla, open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with those famous breakfast baps and sandwiches available and all kinds of stalls and, new this year, Anne and Ellen's surprise bags. Entry is free. And finally, next Sunday the 17th, the Mariners will be in the Howe Chapel when the preacher will be Canon Malcolm Convery. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown. We've done our coverage of the Guild, so we're all back to normal, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for our usual mix of your requests, dedications, and choice of the very best easy listening music. But just for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and all those who you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.